What do you remember about last Yom Kippur? This week's Parasha, Parashat Acharimot, talks about the Yom Kippur service. You might recall in the synagogue making a special bow that we only do once a year, dressing in white. Where does it all come from? What's going on in this week's Parasha, Parashat Acharimot? Parashat Acharimot starts with the aftermath of the death of the two sons of Aaron. The two sons of Aaron had brought a ketoret, a special incense, into the Mishkan, the tabernacle, on the day of its inauguration, and they weren't asked to do that, and they went into the Holy of Holies, and unfortunately, it became their end, as God sent a fire and killed them. And at this moment in time, the parasha begins, Acharimot, after their death, God warns Aharon, and he says, Kohanim are not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodashim, into the Holy of Holies, ever. Only on one day a year can the Kohen Gadol go in. And then the Torah relates the entire process of Yom Kippur. In fact, the Torah tells us, Bezot Yavo Aharon, with this. And the rabbis tell us that the gematria, the numerical value of Bezot, Bet is 2, Zayin is 7, Aleph and Taf is 401, adds up to 410, hinting to the 410 years of the first Bet HaMikdash. Did you know that the first Bet HaMikdash temple lasted for 410 years? It's hinted to in this week's parasha. Bezot, with this, Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, will come in to the Kodesh Kodashim for 410 years. So God tells us what happens on Yom Kippur. How is a Kohen supposed to arrive? The Kohen was the defender, the Kohen Gadol was the defender of the Jewish people. Yom Kippur is a time where we ask God for forgiveness. And the Kohen Gadol had 8 regular garments, and they were called the Bigdei HaZahav, the gold garments, because 4 of them contained gold threads. 3 of the other 4 were white linen. The last one was made of multicolored wool and linen, and the white clothing he wore on Yom Kippur were made especially for that day. He changed clothes, and he would be wearing special clothes. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would put on these special clothes 5 times, and he washed his hands and feet 10 times. Why? The rule is that every time the Kohen Gadol changed between wearing all 8 regular garments and putting on his special white linen clothing, he did 3 things. He washed his hands and feet from the kior, which was the washing basin. He removed his clothes and immersed himself in a mikveh. So he took off his clothes and went into the mikveh, which was a pool of fresh water, rainwater. He dressed in the new clothes and washed his hands and feet again. So this was only special to the Yom Kippur service. He was very busy that day. The night before, he'd been up the whole night, making sure that he'd been ready for the day. And he had a loud voice, and he was full of regret when he asked God for forgiveness. And everyone could hear him, and he said, Anna Hashem Chatati, Aviti, Pashati, the famous words, please Hashem, I sinned accidentally, I sinned on purpose, and I'm asking you for forgiveness. And when they would hear God's name, this was God's name that was said fully as it's written. Nowadays, we don't say God's name as it's written. It's written with a Yud, starting with a Yud, but rather we start and we say the word Ador and then Nai, as opposed to how it's written, because we don't have the same Kedusha as we used to have in the time of the temple. We need God's presence to be available to say God's name fully. But in the time of the temple, they would hear and the people would answer Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuto L'Olam Ve'ed. And till today, when the Chazak goes over and he repeats on a Yom Kippur, the service, which is mainly from this week's parasha, we bow at those words when there is the Avodah, when there is the enactment of the Chazan is pretending, so to speak, to be like the Kohen Gadol, is reminding us what would happen, and we bow at those words. It was a miracle that happened when Yom Kippur, in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, it was packed with Jews, but when the Kohen Gadol said God's name, a miracle happened, and there was enough room for everyone to stretch out on the floor. Even more, every Jew was surrounded by an empty space of 4 amot in each direction. Why did they need so much space? So that people couldn't hear each other confessing their sins, and no one would be embarrassed. How did it work? There were 2 exact goats that looked the same, and one goat was called the goat that was going to Hashem, for Hashem, and the other goat was La'azazel, for Azazel. And the Kohen Gadol would put both of his hands into a wooden box and have a lottery, and he'd take out the 2 blocks of gold, one in each hand, And if the one block of gold for Hashem comes out in his right hand, then the assistant of Kohen Gadol says to him, my master Kohen Gadol, raise up your right hand, and that would be a process. And if the for Hashem came in his left hand, he would say, raise up your left hand. And people would watch the Kohen Gadol as he put his hand into the lottery box. The Kohen Gadol's right hand, when it was raised, was a good sign. It was a sign that the Shekhinah is close by. One of the goats was sent and pushed off a cliff. It had a crimson tied around it, and it would turn white to show that the Jewish people had been forgiven. And the other goat was offered up as a korban to Hashem. The Kohen Gadol vidui for himself, he would ask for confession for all the sins that he committed. Then he would say a second time for his family, and then for the people. The Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh Kadashim with the incense. Stepping in front of the Aron, he places the shovel on the floor between the Aron's poles. He pours the ketoret from the gold spoon into the cupped hands that he's holding, and he then pours the ketoret from his hands onto the shovel of glowing coals, and smoke rises from the burning ketoret and fills the entire room. The Kohen Gadol then left the Kodesh Kadashim, says a prayer, and offers up more sacrifices. The Kohen Gadol would then also read Pesukim from this parsha, Acharei Mot, where the Torah tells us how the Kohen Gadol is supposed to do the Avodah, and he would finish up by bringing the day's Musaf Korbanot. There's an interesting story in the time of the temple, Shimon HaTzadik. He was a Kohen Gadol in the early years of the second temple. He was so great that for 40 years that he was a Kohen Gadol, the block of gold would always be in the lottery, or year after year, the one that said for Hashem would always come out in his right hand, and the red ribbon would always turn white. It was an incredible miracle. But for 40 years before the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, there were already scary signs. The gold block for Azazel always came up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, and the red strip didn't turn white. And this was already a sign to the Bnei Yisrael that they needed to do even more teshuvah, and if not, they were going to get destroyed. The Torah continues with a different subject about a person is not allowed to shecht or sprinkle the blood of a sacrifice outside the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash. The Torah gives us a list of people whom a person is not allowed to marry. And for your examples are a person is not allowed to marry a mother, a father, brother, sister, son, daughter, granddaughter. And it's also not permitted for a man to marry another man. The punishment for the sin is severe. All idol worship is terrible, it's evil, and one of the worst sins. In this parasha, the Torah warns us of a particular evil type of Avodah Zarah, idol worship, called Molech. To worship Molech, parents gave their children to a priest, and the priest forced the child to walk between two huge hot burning fires. And obviously the ending wasn't very, very good. The parsha ends with the idea of keeping Eretz Yisrael holy. If a person eats something disgusting, then of course that will cause you to vomit. In the same way, God warns us that if we do disgusting sins, he will vomit us out of the land of Israel. Eretz Yisrael cannot handle terrible things. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is a place full of holiness. It's God's palace, and therefore we should treat it accordingly.